Well, the rabbi also wanted to make one other point, if he hadn't pounded the last nail in my coffin. That was the penultimate nail. Here comes the ultimate one. His point on Jewish informers, or moisers, as they're called, where I said it's a death penalty offense to inform on a fellow Jew. Here again we have another unfortunate misunderstanding, according to the rabbi. Jews are not forbidden to inform on one another. Indeed, the rabbi says, they must testify if they have knowledge of a crime committed by a fellow Jew. The rabbi says the law against informers only applies to Jews who falsely accuse other Jews before a Gentile court for reasons of vengeance. The rabbi said, perhaps Hoffman will address these issues in his book, or perhaps not. But it seems that Hoffman's hatred of Jews runs so deep that it has damaged the credibility of his argument. End quote. In other words, I'm such a Jew hater that I can't think straight or rationally on this issue. Well, that's the oldest canard in the book. That's the argument of both first and last resort by these people. You're a hater. Dr. Norman Finkelstein has recently written a book called The Holocaust Industry, which exposes the fraud and hypocrisy in the merchandising of the persecution of Jewish people during World War II. He himself is the son of Jewish parents who were inmates in labor camps and relocation camps in Germany. And the response, the main response of the New York Times and others, is to call the Jewish Dr. Norman Finkelstein a self-hating Jew. Here's the rabbi again, and I quote, if this is so, that I'm a Jew hater, if this is so, how is Hoffman better than the Lubavitchers? Which this particular rabbi is opposed to the Lubavitch, representing as he does another competing sect within Judaism. The rabbi says, quote, a little knowledge and a lot of hatred is a dangerous combination, end quote. Well, it seems as though this is going to be tough for me to answer, isn't it? Well, not really, because it's basically just the Talmudic mindset in action. It's the Talmud right in front of us in letter form from a rabbi. It's only a minefield for someone who hasn't educated themselves. But it's very easy to refute, and that's why most of them won't debate. These rabbis hide behind the glamour and prestige bestowed on them by the media to say that they are beneath debating. And incidentally, by the time I finished with this rabbi, this particular rabbi here who sent the email to an intermediary, he ended up telling the intermediary that he didn't want to engage in any further exchanges with me. Here's my reply. Dear Rabbi, thank you for taking the time to respond to the notice concerning publication of my book, Judaism's Strange Gods. It is you who loses credibility when you resort to the familiar branding iron of Jew-hater as soon as someone scrutinizes your religion. Now, not every Khazar who criticizes Christianity is a Gentile-hater, and the reverse is certainly true for Gentiles critical of Judaism, and in particular in my case. This Jew-hater invective is even bandied about in the Israeli state, where members of the Likud, Shas, and the national religious parties call such members of the Labor Party as Barak and Yossi Sarid as Jew-haters. It's ludicrous. You demean yourself by adopting this absurd reflex. Second, sodomy in the synagogue and all of the other points concerning, for example, the Moiser informer that I make about the Talmud are proved by examining the actual practices of the adherents of the religion of Judaism, not the rhetoric or the smokescreen. Jewish victims giving evidence to the police concerning molestation by a Jew does indeed result in the stigma of Moiser, that is to say, informant, being attached to them, and even physical violence against them. It is somewhat disingenuous of you, Rabbi, to state, quote, "Here we have another unfortunate misunderstanding. Jews are not forbidden to inform on each other," end quote. In fact, they are indeed forbidden to inform on one another to the police. You may be satisfied that giving testimony to a rabbinic court is sufficient. I have no such confidence. Adherents of Judaism, like any other people, should have the human right to report molestation or other sexual predation to the police without being violently attacked and stigmatized as a moiser, which is the actual case, as I document in my book. I'm not theorizing here. Your defense that it must be false evidence before the moiser label can be imposed does not apply, since in a case where an adherent of the religion of Judaism gives truthful evidence to the police against a fellow adherent, the moiser informer label is then attached. In my book, I point to the Talmud passage and then the documented practice that has grown from it, which contradict your claims. With regard to my charges concerning homosexuality within Judaism, you write, and I quote, "Nowhere does the Talmud state that Jews are above sin." You have misquoted me. I said above suspicion with regard to accusations of homosexuality, not above sin. The Talmud not only admits of the yetzer hara, or evil inclination, of the adherents of Judaism, it even tells them in Talmud Tractate Moed Katan 17a, and I quote, "If a Jew is tempted to do evil, he should go to a city where he is not known and do the evil there," end quote. But the Talmud most certainly does regard Jews to be above suspicion in regard to the particular evil of homosexuality. In the Babylonian Talmud Tractate Kedushin 82a, we read, and I quote, "Jews are not to be suspected of Mishkav Zachur," end quote. Mishkav Zachur is a reference to homosexual intercourse, that is, sodomy. Since I believe you read modern Hebrew, I strongly suggest you contact Shaya Britzel in Jerusalem and purchase a copy of his Hebrew language book, The Silence of the Ultra-Orthodox. I also hope you will obtain a copy of my book, Judaism's Strange Gods, and review it. And let me digress for a moment here. This rabbi has no idea that I have access to the Hebrew language newspaper Haaretz, where I first read a notice concerning Shaya Britzel's book, The Silence of the Ultra-Orthodox, which also is published in modern Hebrew and not in English. Shaya Britzel is the son of an illustrious rabbi in the Israeli state. He reported his own father's homosexual molestations of boys in the synagogue. However, he was told by the rabbis that what he was doing was worse than any crime or alleged crime that his father had committed. I say alleged because rabbis generally are regarded as immune from sin. And in this particular case, he was told that because he had the status now of informer, that that was worse than the homosexual predation in the synagogue. Of course, the rabbi with whom I am exchanging these emails was not aware of the fact that I have this Hebrew language access to modern literature coming out of the Israeli state, and therefore I caught him unawares here. And yes, I would indeed welcome a review of my book by him, or in fact by any other columnist, because we definitely need the publicity for the book. It's one of the ways to popularize it, and I have in fact sent review copies of the book to many Gentile columnists as well, for example Joseph Sobrin and others. I tell him that I regard my book, Judaism's Strange Gods, as presenting the first comprehensive and conclusive documentation on the exact and genuine nature of the religion of Judaism, something that in my judgment has not been accomplished by a Christian researcher in modern times. And as far as the Jew-hate canard goes, I tell the rabbi that Jews are not the enemy. The enemy is spiritual. It is an ideology. It is a system of thought. That system of thought and that ideology consists in Judaism. My educational campaign is based on love for the Khazar and other disparate peoples who have converted to the religion of Judaism, since most of the original adherents and their seed have died out. That religion is the religion of the Pharisees. Since hate has nothing whatever to do with my campaign and does not thereby occlude my vision in any way, please, dear Rabbi, try ascribing any alleged errors of mine to something other than the pathology of group libel. End quote. I would now like to conclude with a return to the current election and the candidacy of Joseph Lieberman. Not only the statements that Lieberman makes to national TV audiences at the Democrat National Convention or to meet the press, but the oath he may be called upon to swear to the Constitution of the United States on January 20th, should he and Gore be given the electoral nod by the cryptocrats who control America's rigged, computerized voting system. Yes, that oath to the Constitution of the United States is something that Lieberman can nullify with his Kol Nidre vow. And such vows and such nullification absolutely disqualify Lieberman from the vice presidency of the U.S. He cannot be trusted to take that oath sincerely without nullifying it in his heart, as the Yom Kippur Eve service permits him to do. Now, I'm of course aware that Gore is a Gentile, allegedly a Gentile anyway. I know sometimes when I look at him, I'm not so sure. But as an alleged Gentile, Gore is also a demonstrable liar. This seems to be endemic to politicians, including Gore's opponent, Governor Bush. But when a Gentile lies, we should take note that the Gentile violates the basic tenets of his civilization when he lies. But when Lieberman lies, he is fulfilling the highest function of his religion, institutionalized in the course of the so-called High Holy Days of Yom Kippur. Jesus Christ said in John 8:44 that the father of Judaism was the father of lies. It's noteworthy that Jesus connected this propensity for lying with a propensity for murder. Joseph Lieberman, as a dutiful son of this infernal father, is not only a man willing and eager to kill the truth, he is also a literal killer of all those, like the Christian Serbs and the members of Christian Identity, who dare to stand against the Bolshevism with a human face that he and his ever more prominent co-religionists in the government seek to impose on a once Christian nation. In any other era, this farce would have been seen for what it was. But in the Judeo-American zeitgeist, reason is subjugated to the short attention span of the mob that feeds on images and sound bites. A mob that will follow the devil himself if he will promise them the emoluments they crave on the road to a six-pointed police state headed by a Kol Nidre-spouting Jewish liar.